Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're back for Caravan of Garbage, talking about what is considered by many the gold standard of not only Superman movies, but comic book movies in general, Superman 2.
Superman 2.
From 1980, or as you told me before the show, 81, depending where you were in the world.
Australia apparently got it 6 months before everybody else did.
Why?
Don't know. Australia is mentioned. Lex Luthor wants Australia. Maybe they're like, it's good enough for us. You know how Australians, any kind of mention of Australia in a movie, we're like, oh, yes, please.
Thank you for noticing, finally.
We demand this movie now.
Yeah, exactly.
This Superman 2 is, of the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, probably the one I've seen most.
Yeah, same.
Probably because it's the one that was on TV most when I was a kid.
It's got the action.
It's got the action. It's got Superman versus three beings of equal power, probably, maybe? What's going on with anybody's powers in this movie?
See, it's interesting coming back to this movie that I loved as a kid. And I say loved because
three people die at the end.
Yes, that's why I love it.
They fall into a bottomless pit and never return.
I think this movie's broken.
How so?
Because it's clearly a mishmash of two different styles and ideas.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go through why that is the case, if you don't mind. I can do it up top.
Oh, I see, right.
People have to leave a like, though, if I'm going to do that, obviously. I'll wait.
How long will you wait, though?
As long as it takes.
Huh.
They did it.
They all did it.
Okay, good, excellent. So that's good, yeah. So, again, we mentioned last week how it was an 18-month shoot to get this done, as well as the first movie. There were long days for everybody. Filming two movies at once is pretty much impossible. Richard Donner kept it together. He didn't really have a production budget or a schedule, but they were just always like, you're behind and you're over budget. And he's like, specifically how? Like,
sure, right. Puzo says you're over budget and behind schedule.
I got his script rewritten. I don't give a shit what Puzo thinks. But yeah, so this ended up being like a lot shorter than the other one. It's just a bit over 2 hours.
Now, 3/4 of the original Superman 2 was filmed, right? Something like that?
Maybe even more.
With Richard Donner at the helm.
Yes.
And then they were like, we're scrapping all of it. We're starting again.
So essentially, as soon as the first movie came out, they fired Dick Donner.
Uh-huh.
Straight away, they like weren't happy with him. He was arguing with the producers.
Well, like Dick Donter, they said.
That's what they said to him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, rude. And they were like, we don't care.
We don't care. That's not how you pronounce your name.
That's right. So he, of course, does get the famous Donner cut of this film, which came out in the mid-2000s. Mm-hmm. So to get credit for this movie, Richard Lester needed to film 51% of it, right? That's why his name is at the top of this movie.
Okay.
So 30% of the footage remains. They filmed the rest of it in 1979. And you can see in a lot of moments that it is a combination of styles and even the same scenes filmed years apart. Like, there's a moment where the Kryptonians bust into the Daily Planet. A lot of that is filmed, like, you know, one was filmed in 77, one was filmed in 79.
Terrence Stamp had lost a leg by that point.
Exactly.
It's a wooden leg, he had a peg leg.
That's right.
It's really obvious when you see it, when it's pointed out to you.
So, but because of this, there was massive backlash for those involved. John Williams, who composed the score for the first movie, which is iconic to this day. It's an incredible score. He decided after seeing the rough cut of Superman 2, the Richard Lester version, that he could no longer commit to the project.
Which is why the credits say music by someone based on original compositions by John Williams.
Exactly, yeah. Margot Kidder hated it as well because she had less to do. She just basically sat around in her trailer for most of it, and then they'd pedal her out and she'd go, oh, Superman, oh no. Like, she was like, fuck that, it was a bunch of bullshit.
They could have got a broom with a wig.
Exactly. And the style that they took, drastically different, right? So this is a quote from Richard Lester about the the direction that he took coming out of this, okay? So he says, I think that Donna was emphasizing a kind of grandiose myth, that kind of David Lean-ish attempt in our several sequences, an enormous scale. There was this type of epic quality, which isn't in my nature, so my work really didn't embrace that. That's not me. I'm more quirky, and I play around with slightly more unexpected silliness. So, yeah, you can definitely see that, and even more so in Superman 3, a movie that he had complete creative control on. It's just nonsense. And there's a lot of, like, nonsense in this movie. And a common criticism for this movie at the time and also since is a lot of it is, like, it just looks flat. Like, it's like it's like a sitcom. Like, you go into a room and it's framed like they're comic book panels. That's the idea. So that's, like, one person standing on the one side of the room and the other one's on the other, and they're just kind of chattering back and forth at each other. And, of course, Jeffrey Usworth, who was the cinematographer on the first one, and he did 2001 A Space Odyssey, he died like immediately after the first one, so he couldn't come back. So that's why this movie looks great sometimes and then doesn't look very good other times, a lot of the time. And also has a suspiciously edited out Marlon Brando. Do you want to know about this?
Well, I think you, but regardless of what I want, you're going to tell me
about it. I was asking the listeners and watchers.
You hate Marlon Brando.
I don't hate him. I just think he's a bad bloke.
All right.
And a good actor. And maybe an activist, but also terrible. People can be many things. He's like 70-30. 70 being the terrible part.
I understand. Yeah. Go on.
So you may have noticed that a lot of the scenes between Superman and the crystals that he talks to, it's with Susanna York, who plays
Lara.
Lara, exactly, his Kryptonian mother. Because originally Richard Donner had filmed Superman talking to his father in this movie, but Marlon Brando sued and won a share of the first film's gross, and the lawsuit also awarded him a share of this film's gross, even though he doesn't appear in it, so he had to be replaced in his scenes. And you see, like, at moments at the start, you remember the Kryptonian Council that happened in the first movie?
Yeah, he's not
It happens
that.
Again, but he's just not there.
Yeah, he was the deciding vote in the original version, but not at all. That's interesting, because you'd think that if he got a share of the gross, you'd be like, well, in that case, Brando, you're going to have to be in every scene.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to make you do less work. We're going to make you do more work.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, we want you in the background cheering on Superman in every scene.
Yeah, Superman, yeah. That's my Brando.
Nice.
He's obviously a better actor than me, obviously.
Yeah.
That's one of the qualities that he has that I don't.
Correct.
Anyway, look, I've prattled on enough. What do you think
of this? Do you mean
this?
In your career?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I'm ending it. Goodbye, everybody. We had a good run.
He's getting up. He's actually getting out of his chair. He's getting out of his chair, but he hasn't taken his headphones off, so I don't believe him, because he's a bad actor. Brando would have taken his headphones off.
And he would have never come back.
Yeah, okay. What do you want to talk about now, then?
Okay, so I think there's some good stuff in this.
Okay, go on.
Christopher Reeve, as always, and Margot Kidder, them together, is incredible. There's a moment where he's discovered as Superman. It's done. We'll talk about it.
Yep.
But the moment he's revealed, you see him physically change. Like, his posture shifts. Mm. Like the way his footing shifts. He turns around. The glasses come off. His head goes up. And it's like a transformation. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Mm. If you've ever read All-Star Superman, which is a comic book by Grant Morrison with the art by Frank Quitely, Frank had a very specific drawing style for Superman, and specifically Clark Kent. Like, if you see sort of past the suit, like the civilian clothes he's wearing, he's deliberately slouching down as Clark Kent, so you can't see that he's, you know, like,
he's
like a linebacker.
He's like a thumb that's lost a thumb war.
Yeah, and I wonder if that was inspired by Christopher Reeve in this movie.
I'd imagine so,
yeah.
But you can definitely get the sense that, like, yeah, I guess people could fall for this in a fictional universe.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Plus he's wearing glasses.
I'll
be honest with you, if somebody has glasses or takes them off or they put their hair down or whatever, a lot of the time, can't recognize
them. Fair enough, yeah. But the way he's revealed is, like, she figures out that he's Superman and then kind of baits him into revealing himself, which he doesn't.
You're crazy, Lois.
Yeah, you idiot.
You should be committed to a mental asylum.
I'm going to fly you there. Drive you there.
Yeah, which I can do because I'm your legal guardian. It's the 80s or the late 70s or whatever.
Or whatever, yeah. So the way he's revealed is he trips on a fake bearskin rug, maybe, and falls into a fire and puts his hand in it. But my question is, how does Superman trip?
Good question, because he's super fast. There'd be a super fast recovery.
Or he wouldn't trip. He'd just go straight through it because he's Superman.
And several floors of the hotel.
They sort of
attempt. Or he just float, and that'd be the biggest giveaway.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
Or his heat vision would go off and destroy her.
But then he'd be safe.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And it's the 70s, so he'd get away with
it. That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah. But I think also that they make mention that, like, maybe he did it subconsciously. You know what I mean?
No, it's exactly right.
He's a man that doesn't trip, really. Mm. Not intentionally.
Even in the 70s.
Exactly.
When LSD was all the rage.
Wasn't it just?
One of my favorite scenes in this movie is the scene in which Lex Luthor and his henchmen escape prison.
Yes.
Because of what happens, obviously, is that a prison guard goes to their cell and raps on the door, and they're busy playing chess. And then the guard opens the door to give them what for, and then discovers that it's just a very sophisticated hologram of them staying up after lights out.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe just make a hologram of you guys sleeping.
Or no hologram.
No hologram at all.
Just bundle your sheets up a little bit.
Bundle some bed sheets together.
What blew me away about...
From the laundry where you work in the prison. I don't know.
But what blew me away about that scene was that Lex Luthor has invented realistic 3D holographic projections.
Yep. They're not even on a screen. They're on nothing. Maybe...
So he is smart?
In some ways he is. Maybe market that and make $1 billion off it.
Maybe do that, yeah. This movie also has the classic superhero gives up their powers or sacrifices their powers for
which
love.
Which I remember in my many watchings of it as a child being a really long portion of the movie. But in this, he gives up his powers, he gets beaten up, and he's like, well, the heck with this. I'm going back to the Fortress of Solitude to get my powers
back.
No,
he looks at the TV. First of all, he gets thrown into a bunch of Coca-Cola signs. That is like Coca-Cola City in there. Have you noticed that?
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, it's not as bad as the Marlboro cigarettes branding that we get later. just when he gets thrown into a truck. But yeah, he immediately regrets it. And then like a kid who's like going off to see the principal has to trudge his way back up to the North Pole.
He puts a bindle on the back of his stick and he just like, I'm taking my bat and ball and going home. The Fortress of Solitude.
I love also when he transforms into a human man.
He's got some chinos and a nice crisp white shirt on, which should have been a giveaway at the end of the movie. Like when he tricks the Kryptonian criminals into giving up their powers, they should have all been like, why am I wearing this crisp white button down and chinos?
Am I a waiter? What is this? I do love that trick and I do want to talk about that whole sequence. Uh-huh. But what do you think about the idea that, much like the Henry Cavill version, he goes back for revenge? You know what I mean?
Like, because he's petty.
Yeah, they both have incidents in a bar where they teach a guy a lesson, right? What do you think about that?
I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either.
Yeah, it shows he's a little bit human.
Yeah, because we have talked about this, how that, look, he's not perfect, and he does kill, as we've seen in this.
Sure.
And also other Superman movies.
And Lois kills
and
as
Lois
well.
Lois kills, that's fine, exactly. But what do you think about the villains?
I mean, that being said, I would be a little bit more disturbing if he took out all the rage of his entire life on this one guy in a bar, you know? He's like, remember me? Well, I'm going to flick you into the sun.
Why not?
Yeah. Anyway, we're saying the villains are...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah.
Gosh. I mean, they do a fun little whistle-stop walking tour of small town America, don't they?
Absolutely, they do.
And they could have just gone straight to Washington, I guess.
Well, they filmed that in the UK. I'm like, pretty good. Also, how do powers work in this? Again, we talked about last week how it was the start of the Superman silliness in movies. They're just lifting people up with their minds and levitating guns and all these kinds of things.
Well, look, I'm sure some people would say that, you know, the...
There's a moment where he walks on a sheet of glass on a lake. How does he do it? How did he put that glass there?
Ah.
How did he do it?
Good question.
Anyway,
any of the answers. Some people have said, who've thought about it more than us, have said that perhaps how Kryptonian physiology works is when you discover your powers, you get different ones depending on what you attempt, maybe.
As my son would say, you get what you get and you don't get upset.
Oh, that's right. Very good.
It's a fun little expression.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, when you land on Earth and the yellow sun radiation is, you know, going through your body, then... what you attempt to do is what the powers you get. So Zod got telekinesis because that's what he tried to do first. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
Maybe there's a number of slots like an RPG and you get flight super strength and invulnerability and bonus.
And you want, the bonus is I want to be the president. It's like, well, the sun will give you those abilities. You can be the president. Yeah. My favorite Zod moment, and of course there's Neil Before Zod. I love all of that. Like, mm-hmm. it's terrific. There's a moment where he's on the television and he's doing his little speech or whatever, and the last thing he says before it's switched off is he just screams, "Zod!" Like he wasn't gonna was he gonna say anything else? He's just yelling his name. I love it.
I like the bit where he's like, "You'll kneel before me." He's in the Daily Planet. He's like, "You'll kneel before me, Superman." Come back here. And then he just zip off after
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
Good fun.
There's actually also a fourth uncast villain called Jack-L.
Okay.
Jackal. Do you get it?
No.
And he was an evil prankster and also the comic relief. So can you imagine? Would have been very funny, yeah.
What my favorite use of any of their powers, I think, is one where I think it's the big burly henchman.
Yeah.
He decides to use his super breath ability to just knock over all the citizens of Metropolis, just blast them with a hurricane strength.
Do you remember when like an action sequence is just a big wind machine for 4.5 minutes?
But my favorite moment of that is there's just one guy who's like, man, I really picked the wrong day to A, wear roller skates, and B, wear this big sparkly red vest. I'm spiraling out of control here.
So all of those gags, that's Richard Lester, apparently. He was like, I'm doing fun little gags. So, you know, he's not without talent.
I appreciated it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. What do you think about the action in this in general? There was a spectacular kick at one point. Did you see the Chris Reeve kick? Where he kicks one of the Kryptonians. It's obviously dated, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think
people
were kind of crying out for Superman to punch somebody because this was the last time we'd seen Superman on screen in a physical confrontation, like of equal match.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm talking about in the movies. I know we've seen what Dean Cain's up to probably, haven't we?
Sure.
Another mention for some reason, doesn't he?
Sure. None of the other ones do.
No.
Wild.
I don't know what's going on there, yeah. But yeah, I think that scene though, what it comes down to for me, why it works is they discover his weakness and it's that he likes people. He doesn't want them to get crushed by big trucks and stuff.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
I think that's really great. And I think some other versions of Superman maybe lack that humanity.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, we've talked about it. But yeah, I think it does a good job of, you know, I know he's like, the people! Ah, the people! It's like, you know, good.
Yeah.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, weird powers. Let's talk about weird powers.
Go on, let's talk about it. Side note, speaking of powers generally, Superman does seem to have very selective super senses in these movies. I didn't mention it prior to this, but in the first one, he doesn't notice that Lois's helicopter has crashed on the top of the building he's in. In this one, he goes all sotto voce to Lex Luthor and is like, "Hey, Lex, we should get him in this chamber. Get him in the chamber.
What do you think?
And then I remove their powers." And it's like, do you not? they can probably hear you too, right? Like, what are you...
Maybe he was banking on that.
Maybe.
Or maybe they didn't develop their super hearing.
Maybe.
They used that last slot to be the president.
Maybe they used the president
to kill
slot.
A snake.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that's what you
okay,
get.
Okay, let's talk
yeah.
about wacky powers.
Okay, so a lot of that stuff I also put down to it being the Fortress of Solitude, right? There's a moment where he replicates himself. It's like, yeah, he's probably got holographic technology or whatever.
Right.
Or he took it from Lex Luthor, who invented it, maybe. I don't know.
That's right.
But then, the same time, as he's disappearing and reappearing, so are the other Kryptonians. So, I don't know. I don't know what that is. I know people have a problem.
Maybe it's a gas leak.
Maybe it's a gas leak. Maybe they're all just standing in a cupboard with a gas leak, yeah. I know people don't really love the cellophane S thing.
I love it.
It's so weird and random and unexplained.
Yeah.
There's probably a Family Guy gag about it, I think, from memory.
I think there is,
I think it's fun, yeah. I also think there's a moment where he grabs Zod and it's like, he's going to he's going to break his neck he does in the other movie. And he probably would have done it if they hadn't have grabbed Lois Lane.
Speaking of breaking necks, and this is a slight diversion, but right at the start of the movie, there's a moment where Zod's big henchman breaks just a dude's neck.
Yeah.
It's the cheapest effect I've ever seen.
The helmet turn?
Yeah, but it's just, there's just, it looked like a...
Oh, when they're standing in front of that weird green screen, blue screen, yeah. Reshoot?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, because I think they would have done that with reprojection as they did for a lot of the stuff that looks good. You know what I mean? I'd imagine. I don't know that for a fact. But I think, though, my favorite moment in this movie, and it's always like stuck with me, is where he does go into the chamber and he flips it so they lose their powers and he keeps his. And when he does the kneel and he breaks his hand, you see the look on his face and he realizes that he's done. And the music swells and he picks him up. And yeah, he kills him. Like, though apparently in some versions that aired on TV, they get arrested.
They all get arrested at the end. Or
you could also say
probably in the Donner Cut.
But
just the Arctic police show up.
Yeah, exactly.
And they put them in the Arctic paddy wagon.
That's right. But also maybe he threw them down into a Kryptonian prison or whatever.
Yeah,
really know. But I just think that's an incredible moment. Just because it shows that Superman is... You know, he's not just brute strength and powers. You know, he's
using his noodle.
He's thinking.
Yeah.
And sometimes he thinks about a memory wiping kiss.
And he outsmarted Lex Luthor, one of the dumbest men in the world. Yeah. But yeah, he did. Sometimes he does a memory wiping kiss. Super weird. And again, that's not the way a modern superhero movie would go. Again, we've got two hats on with this. One is always looking at this in terms of it's just a fun throwback to, 1940s Superman newspaper comic strips, and one just cynical, just two awful people in a room being like, why isn't this more modern?
Yeah,
why isn't this thing from the 80s more modern? It's just weird that he wasn't she held her own. She threw one of these Kryptonians to her death.
Yeah.
Why not let her in on the secret and just let her be? I mean, it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
They were married in the comics at this point. So.
Well, this is something that doesn't happen in the Donner Cut. I may as well ask this question now. Look, we're definitely going to come back and do Superman 3 next week.
Yes.
But would people like us to cover the Donner Cut at the end of this? So we'll do 3 and 4 and then circle back to this movie.
Maybe.
I'd like to check it out.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, cool. Anyway, with the memory wiping kiss,
yeah,
that is a power that he's had in the comics prior to this.
Uh-huh.
But also he's had every power.
Yeah,
like he can do, he can shoot a little Superman out of his hand. That's a power. He can just do anything in the comics. So I think if you just go, well, that's a thing that he had, it's not good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to put something
and
in
also,
like that.
And also, can he specify what memories he erases and how long the erasure goes depending on how he does the kiss?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah. Also, you may have noticed, but Gene Hackman didn't return for any reshoots. Also, I think he's really fun in this. And there's a great recurring gag where they keep going to kill him, and then he's out. He has this mock outrage, and then he has to offer them the next thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a really fun kind of he's got this indignation of how dare you?
Yeah, I think this is the one where he really settled into the character, and he's like, I'm just gonna have fun with this, which I very much appreciate.
But a lot of the stuff that they reshot where he's it's just a stand-in in the background, because he didn't come back. He was like, yeah, I think I'm doing another movie. He said, I think I'm doing another movie. That's what he said on the phone call. I got some things I just want to mention at the end. Just some miscellaneous facts and just things that I went, oh yeah, here we go.
That's what the title of this segment is called. So obviously that's what we'll be doing here.
Exactly. So shout out to John Ratzenberger from Cheers, who appears in this movie.
Is he one of the bar patrons?
No, he's can't remember, but he's in it. Oh, I think he's one of the NASA dudes. Maybe I don't know, but he's in.
Oh, you still? No, he is. Yeah,
he's also in Empire Strikes Back, which probably filmed around the same time as the reshoots of this did.
So he's probably
in the building. I'd imagine, yeah, that's how that worked. And shout out to Harry Potter's mean uncle, who's also in this as well, yeah. I like the line where when he saves the kid on the waterfall, or that dummy that you see tumble down at one point, and you just hear somebody yell, "Of course he's Jewish," which is a callback to his origins, because his creators were Jewish.
Uh-huh.
I think that's fun. It's got the classic moment.
Although traditionally in the comic books he is Methodist.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Hope we're not going to start some kind of religious war.
Holy war. No, no, we are.
Okay, good.
Let's start one in the comments.
So it's also got a classic moment of a guy who's like, what have I been drinking? When he sees him walk on water.
Uh-huh.
I know you love a gag like that. And shout out also to Clifton James, who plays the sheriff, but also plays the
Sheriff J.W. Pepper in the James Bond movies. Yes.
Same
the Roger
guy?
Moore era, maybe. Maybe.
I mean, the last one was supposed to have Kojak at one point, so...
Why not?
Why not, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of... Look, it's fun. And it's, you know, it's got some great moments and great performances, but it's not as good as I remember it being, unfortunately. Huh. Yeah. What about you?
It's definitely longer than I remember it being.
Mm.
I think in the past, maybe as a kid, I probably watched the scene, you know, in the small town with the,
yeah.
you know, they're battling the police and the army, and then the scene at the end where they're fighting in the Fortress of Solitude, and I probably, you know, left the room in between, so.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll be back next week for Superman 3, which is Richard Lester's own. You cannot get away
terrific.
From that.
Terrific. Gag, yeah. Wall-to-wall gags. I think yeah. I've seen this once. Yeah, so this will be something.
It's rough from memory and also has one of the most horrifying moments from a lot of people's childhood.
The robot,
yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Which we'll come back to. But look, if you want to see that video early, or any of the Caravan of Garbages early, if you go to bigsandwich.co and sign up, they go up there early, don't they?
That's right, along with bonus podcasts mm-hmm. and movie commentaries.
Oh my goodness.
We're talking about Superman, we're talking about Batman, we're talking about Spider-Man, we're talking about all the mans.
All the mans.
Yeah.
And womans.
Some special womans.
That's it. And of course, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That comes out every Monday if you do want to check it out. But we will be back.
Superman 3. And then Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Yeah.
I always thought that guy was Dolph Lundgren. It's not. It's a different guy.
I always thought it was too as a kid.
It's a different
guy. It's a different man.
Yeah.
He probably lived a different life.
Right. And John Cryer's in it.
John Cryer's in it.
He later become Lex Luthor in the
Two and a Half Men. Yeah. Okay, we got to go. No time to correct anything. We got
to
go.
No, why would? There's nothing to correct then. What you said is correct.
Goodbye.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.